नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तस्मात् संकीर्तनं विष्णोर् जगन्मङ्गलं अम्हसाम् महताम् अपि कौरव्य विद्याय कान्तिकनिष्कृतम् तस्मात् therefore संकीर्तनम् the congregational chanting of the holy name Vishnoho of Lord Vishnu Jagat Mangalam the most auspicious performance within this material world Amhasam for sinful activities Mahatam Api even though very great, Kauravya, O descendant of the Kuru family, Vidhi, understand, Aikantika, the ultimate, Nishkritam, atonement. Translation, Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtan movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please, try to understand this so that others will take it seriously. Please, try to understand this. So that others will take it seriously. Purport. We should note that although Ajamila chanted the name of Narayana imperfectly, he was delivered from all sinful reactions. The chanting of the holy name is so auspicious that it can free everyone from the reactions of sinful activities. One should not conclude that one may continue to sin with the intention of chanting Hare Krishna to neutralize the reactions. Rather, one should be very careful to be free from all sins and never think of counteracting sinful activities by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, for this is another offense. If, by chance, a devotee accidentally performs some sinful activity, the Lord will excuse him, but one should not intentionally perform sinful acts. I was inspired to recite this verse or discuss this verse based on our honoring of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day. One time in Seattle in 1968, Prabhupada was speaking about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance, and he spoke something very, very interesting. So I heard the class many times because it was so interesting. A point that he was making, that the appearance and the disappearance of a great Vaishnava are non-different. Now, when a great personality departs, we feel transcendental grief. But at the same time, it signifies they're entering into the eternal pastimes of Krishna. When we say those prayers at the beginning, or excuse me, at the end of kirtan, Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakachari Astatara Sata Sata Sri Srimad. So it's the Nishtalila Pravishta. Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa. So Nitya Lila Pravishta means this personality whose name we're about to recite has Pravishta. They've entered into the Nitya Lila, the eternal pastimes of Krishna. Nitya Lila Pravishta, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa. So this marks the day when Bhaktivinoda Thakur entered into the eternal pastimes of Krishna. So that's a celebration. We're celebrating that wonderful event. And feeling his presence through sound vibration. And feeling his absence through his departure. Oh, so many nice things to say in glorification of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, specific to the event that we're doing today and this weekend, the festival of the Holy Name. Specifically, one of, like the Jairada Madhava song that we sing. It's composed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Or this wonderful glorification of Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya, Haridas Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a very wonderful stanza, one of his most well-known stanzas, in glorification of Haridas Thakur that goes like this. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die, when thou art living still in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread the holy name around, or one translation is to spread the holy life around. Not a translation. I've heard different versions. To spread the holy life around. And that is the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as he's speaking of Haridas Thakur. When Sanatan Goswami was being praised by Haridas Thakur, you are such a recipient of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a whole lila which I want to keep a short class, so it's a wonderful lila where Lord Chaitanya showed this incredible mercy to Sanatan Goswami. Very briefly, Lord Chaitanya arranged by his internal potency for Sanatan Goswami to become terribly diseased with a skin disease that oozed pus, you know, wet itches, Prabhupada calls it. You know, yucky, smelly stuff coming from his body. And it was very itchy. Besides, he was experiencing bodily discomfort. The greater discomfort was Lord Chaitanya would regularly embrace him. And as he would embrace him, this yucky stuff would smear all over the body of Lord Chaitanya. So Sanatan Goswami wanted to give up his body because he didn't want his body to be offensively smear the body of Lord Chaitanya. He didn't say anything, but Lord Chaitanya was omniscient and he ordered Sanatan Goswami, you can't. If it was so easy to attain liberation or Krishna Loka by throwing your body before the wheels of the Jagannath chariot, we'd all do it. But you can't achieve spiritual perfection that way. I forbid you. Your body is mine, it's my property, you can't do it. So he had another plan. He would stay for the Rath Yatra and then he'd go back to Vrindavan. And he consulted Jagatananda Pandit about, was that okay? Jagatananda Pandit said, that's a good idea, why don't you do that? Then Lord Chaitanya came to find out that Jagatananda Pandit is advising Sanatan Goswami, that impudent rascal. You're his superior, you're his worshipable spiritual master, and he's instructing you, advising you. Abominable. You can't leave Vrindavan. You can't leave Puri to go back to Vrindavan. So he can't stay and he can't leave. He's like checkmated. And he stayed with all humility in the same place where Haridas Thakur stayed, not wanting to enter the Jagannath temple. When Lord Chaitanya one time called for Sanatana Goswami to visit him, he was at a distant place, and instead of coming from where he was past the Jagannath temple, he went by the seashore. And Lord Chaitanya asked him, "Why did it take you so long?" "Because I went by the seashore." "Why did you go by the seashore? It's blistering hot. Let me see your feet. Are your feet blistered? Why did you do that?" "Well, I didn't want to go by the temple, which is the shorter route, because the pujaris are milling about and this yucky stuff on my body might touch their body and I contaminate them and then they go worship Lord Jagannath and I'd be a big offender." And Lord Chaitanya was so amazed at his humility and his concern, not for his feet, but for Lord Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya went to embrace him and he went to a distant place. "No, no, don't touch me, don't touch me. And this is yucky stuff." And Lord Chaitanya said, "It's like a mother with her baby. The mother doesn't mind the yucky stuff on the baby because of the affection of the mother for the baby. She cleans the baby because of her affection for the baby. So like you, I just have affection for you." And he embraced Sanatana Goswami very strongly, and a miracle cure. The sores went away. Poof. And Lord Chaitanya left. And Haridas Thakur said, "All this was arranged by Lord Chaitanya just to put you in a position where you're completely dependent upon his mercy. He took you to that place so that you were completely dependent on his mercy. And then he took the problem away. There's no one like you. You're the greatest recipient of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. I am sure of it." And then Sanatana Goswami said to Haridas Thakur, "No, no, no. You are. Because you're perfect in both prachar and achar. Your chanting of the holy name, he gave you the title of the Namacharya, the Acharya, the teacher of the holy name. So who could be greater than you? He came to give the holy name and you're the Acharya of the holy name. And so, but not only by your activity, by your achar, but by your preaching. You know the conclusive truths of all the Vedas and anyone who comes to you can hear them. You are the greatest recipient of Lord Chaitanya's mercy." So in this way, and then Haridas Thakur chose to leave. He asked permission from Lord Chaitanya to give up his body before Lord Chaitanya gave up his body completed his pastimes and left this world because he didn't want to experience that pain of separation. So Lord Chaitanya gave his blessings. The next day, Haridas Thakur left his body with the request, "I want to see your smiling form as I give up my body, because whatever your mind is fixed on at the time of death, that state you will attain." His desire was just the eternal service of Lord Chaitanya, understanding him as he is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the most munificent form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives love of Krishna in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, giving it freely to everyone. That's Lord Chaitanya. And Haridas Thakur wanted his association, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is glorifying Haridas Thakur in that way. "The Vaishnavas die to live, and living, try to spread the holy life around. That's this one. That's this Bhagavatam verse. That's the connection. This is the title of the chapter is Yamaraj instructing his messengers, but this verse is Shukadeva Goswami instructing Maharaj Parikshit, the concluding portion of this chapter 3, that this chanting is so glorious that the original question is, what can help counteract the effect of sins for people in general? So, because the effect of sins is they'll have to experience a hellish reaction. What can be done to counteract that? And the answer is the best of all counteractions, suniskritam. We chanted that verse the other day. Suniskritam, it's the best. Because it not only takes away the reactions of the sins, it takes away the tendency for sinning. The potency is there in the holy name. So, the request of Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, who's about to die in 7 days, is actually for us. And that is, Vidhi, please try to understand this. And with that understanding, help others understand it. Help others take it seriously. So my contemplation or meditation on what we're doing, and I'm again going to refer to some teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is the same thing that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told Srila Prabhupada, and that is what we're doing. So by this, by taking the message of Lord Chaitanya to the Western world, 2 things. It'll be good for you, it'll be good for them. So the good for us part is the purification, the deeper shelter in the holy name, inspiration of Nama Chintamani Krishnas, the non-difference of the chanting of the holy name. I was thinking about this as we've been going on. It's the holy name and the holy name and the holy name, and there are varieties so that like we can keep our attention going. But the holy name. So what's the effect? There's purification, and then there's spiritual potency that is being carried by each and every one of us. I mean, it's not us, it's the holy name. And just by contacting, voluntarily, we're here, and we're contacting the holy name, or being contacted by the holy name. And there's spiritual purification and spiritual charge. And then we're going to go in different directions. And when we go in different directions, that spiritual potency will go with us, and it'll help fulfill the vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or the writing of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, while living, try to spread the holy life around, just from what we're doing here, and then going somewhere. You follow? So please try to understand it. And in so doing, inspire others to receive this benefit. Even if they don't understand the benefit, that's okay. Like that musician dancer at the Harinam. What did he understand of what was going on? It was a party, and he was dancing at the party out on the street. So not knowing, he was getting enormous spiritual benefit from chanting and dancing with the devotees. Although, you know, the understanding of what and why and how, spiritual potency nonetheless. And as I mentioned, after you all left, he was sitting there with the mantra card, chanting. Just by himself, sitting, you know, because there's no audience, it was just sitting and chanting. I don't know if he's going to continue or not continue, you know, today and tomorrow. And, but permanent benefit is there. And that's this benefit for us, benefit for others simultaneously. Even we're here in the four walls of the temple room, benefit for others also, because we're going to take that spiritual charge with us. In honor of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and on this same theme, there's not time, but it's a wonderful resource. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote 100 books. Anybody try to write a book? Write a paper for school? It takes a while to write a paper for school. You wrote a paper? Really? How many pages? Two or three? Two. How long did it take you? No, I'm asking this young girl. How long did it take you? An hour? 2 hours? 3 hours? A while. Huh? Okay. It takes a while, anybody that's done such a thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so prolific. Part of 100 books. 100 books. One person. And so many things. One of the favorite parts of this recent visit to Mayapur was going to the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Godruma, and the home that he had established. We spent 3 hours just discussing Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it's endless. There's so much. One time Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Mayapur. I've shared this before, but it's embedded in my mind. Prabhupada got into a mood of glorifying Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We're just like off in these, like, agricultural field, you know, where they have these little strips where you walk, and then on this side is plowed field, and that side is plowed field, the little strip where you walk. Well, he was walking on that little strip, and there were, you know, a whole lot of devotees walking in the field along with Prabhupada, and he was just glorifying Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This and that and this and that, and such a visionary. He at a time when Lord Chaitanya's teachings had the respect for him had imploded, the deviation of his teachings and example were abundant. The reality had practically been lost. Bhaktivinoda Thakur excavated it, established it amongst the puffy-waffy intellectuals of his times, and for the world, and for the village people, and, you know, the illiterate persons. So for illiterate persons, he didn't write books. He wrote songs. And then they would sing the songs in Bengali. And then through the songs, they would learn the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It was very brilliant. Anyway, so many. And on, and just describing Bhaktivinoda Thakur in glorious terms. And that he envisioned, as Lord Chaitanya envisioned, the day will come where right here in Navadvip, persons from all parts of the world, Russia and China and Africa and the West and the East, will come together and on the streets of Navadvip jubilantly chant Jai Sachi Nandana, Jai Sachi Nandana, when there were just rice fields and a bad name for Lord Chaitanya. He envisioned it. And it came to be. And Prabhupada was, and he saw this would happen all over the world. Lord Chaitanya said in every town and village, the holy names will be chanted. Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw it, and he was the visionary. Didn't like, oh, that's nice. He wanted to help make it happen. He infused that vision within his son, who then attempted to do the same. And Bhaktisiddhanta received that vision or passed on that vision to Srila Prabhupada, who passed it around the world. An explosion. From Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the visionary. So one devotee asked Prabhupada, he was such a powerful person. Why didn't, during his lifetime, you do that too? And very softly Prabhupada said, he left something for us to do. And Prabhupada left something for us to do. As he said, the blueprint is there, fill it in. The instrument, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, in 11 years, all over the world with standards and deity worship and schools and farms and temples and teachings and book distribution and economy and, you know, reputation and potency. And then you carry it forward. Every town and village. I'm enthused, so please tolerate my enthusiasm. I'm enthused to contemplate what this little event that we're doing represents. It's an opportunity to come together, receive the potency, the power of the holy name, and then go to our other places and carry that power of the holy name. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said about Haridas Thakur, as he did himself, as Bhaktisiddhanta did, as Srila Prabhupada did, as we're similarly to do. Living, try to spread the holy life around, and through the holy name around, through the life of devotion to Krishna, in a world that's dark. They don't know Krishna, this, etc. Sinful condition, lots of opposition, just from the modes of nature and the entanglements in karma, and, you know, not a favorable territory to try to bring love for Krishna awakened. But the potency is there. The instruction is there. The potency in the holy name is there. So one of the 100 books that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote was called Jaiva Dharma. And there are some translations that have been made into English. And Jaiva Dharma is brilliant. He's explaining in a fiction story nectar of devotion, nectar of instruction, and some of the core teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Dasa Mula Tattva, in particular, the 10 essential teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And it's in a fiction book. It's not fiction. The background is, once upon a time, something, something, and some boys from Calcutta went to Mayapur on a vacation, and lo and behold, there's these great personalities having uproarious kirtan. Wow, what's that? And they went and they heard, and this series of dialogue where, in a dialogue fashion, he's teaching these three books. So there's one section that's in my hand here. It's a section where he's describing the holy name. 10 pages of just verse after verse after verse after verse after verse of the glorifications of the holy name. From many different scriptures. I'm just going to read couple of pieces of rice in the rice pot. Just a little squeezing. From Garuda Purana. The ominous roar of a lion sends the deer scampering helter-skelter for their lives. Similarly, Harinam instantaneously disperses and removes all sins when chanted once, even unwittingly. From Brihad Vishnu Purana, constant chanting of Harinam is extremely beneficial and auspicious because it destroys all diseases, distresses, and impediments. By the way, it destroys the material mind and the material body, too. I mean, not all at once. That's the power of the holy name. Quoting from Brihant Naradiya Purana, another verse. Those persons who always glorify the name of the Lord in kirtan, loudly chanting, O Hare, O Keshava, O Govinda, O Vasudev, O Jagan Maya, and so on, are protected from the evil influences of Kali Yuga. Like, just like the Bhagavatam describes, the potency of devotional service is likened, in Prabhupada's purport, to an intravenous drug that's injected into the body and at once protects the whole body. Devotional service and the holy name has such potency. It's better than so many other things. The study of the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Samaveda, and Atharva Veda altogether at length. The primary necessity, however, is to perform Sankirtan of the names of Sri Hari, such as Govinda and so on. Just constantly perform this activity. Better than, there's verses after verses comparing the holy name to other forms of uplifting activity, and none of them compare to the chanting of the holy name. Those elevated souls who are eager to chant are not subject to any restrictions upon their chanting in regard to any time, place, or circumstance. Looking for the particular reference that says, one becomes invested with spiritual potency. There's two quotes that I can't find right at the moment. One says that just as the holy name is invested with all spiritual potency, this is from Shikshastakam of Lord Chaitanya, Nija Sarva Shaktis, each one of the holy names is invested with all of Krishna's potency. Now, let's contemplate that just for a moment. Think of one of the most powerful things in this material world, and that's the sun. How much energy is there in the sun? Who can calculate how much energy? For how, what period of time it's giving energy and energy and energy and energy? How much energy is there in the sun? But the energy of the sun is, compared to the energy of Krishna, is insignificant. The fullness of God's potencies is unlimited, and all of those potencies are in each and every one of Krishna's names. So the verse says, one who chants the name becomes infused with spiritual potency. We become protected from the influence of Kali Yuga, and we become agents of change or purification for others just from our having chanted the holy name. That's this last line in the verse. And then, in keeping with the consciousness of Krishna paying attention to one who chants and giving his protection because of his affection and sense of indebtedness to one who calls his name even once. We were discussing that. So there's a verse from Mahabharata where Krishna is speaking to Arjuna about his feelings for Draupadi. Because she called, the verse says, she called the name Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda, with such dependence, exclusive dependence, with such feeling, she called. I was indebted, I came. But the indebtedness keeps growing, compounded interest. The indebtedness keeps growing, and now I can't stop thinking of her. Krishna. So, depending upon Krishna, we heard, so I'm just going to wrap up. Depending upon Krishna is with the sense of we need that shelter of Krishna. We need descending mercy in order to qualitatively chant, to chant with attention. Try it, we discussed. And anyone who has tried it has realized, I can't do it. Alone, I can't do it. The need is, I need Krishna's help, and the intensification of that need is prayer, appeal to Krishna with feeling, as Draupadi did. She tried. She held on to her sari with one hand and tried to stop Dushasana, who was more powerful than she was, and she realized it was hopeless. So with both hands raised in the air, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. And what did Krishna do? Not only he came, he continues to feel with increased indebtedness to her for that. Exactly as we've been discussing. So when we're chanting, Krishna's hearing and he's feeling and he's reciprocating. There's a relationship that's being established through the chanting. If we can recognize that relationship and strive to enter into that relationship and be with that relationship while chanting, it's available. Krishna's there. Some just concluding thing about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because this is his disappearance day. He left this world in June of 1914. You know, the world is going to world war. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is leaving the world. That's like simultaneous. In 1908, he was living in Godrumdweep in Swananda Sukhada Kunj, his house there, and he received a message that Sir William Duke, who he had worked under when he was a judge in Puri, high court judge in Puri and other places too, he was like a British officer, chief secretary of Bengal. So he was, Sir William Duke was visiting in Calcutta, and he requested Bhaktivinoda Thakur to come visit him in Calcutta. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to Calcutta to visit him in this famous writer's building. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur arrived, he was waiting outside for him. Sir William Duke, with folded hands, waiting outside for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and personally escorted him up to his office or place, and then made an appeal to Bhaktivinoda Thakur for forgiveness. He said, because I was in charge of all of your work, I read all of your decisions in court, and I saw they're brilliant. They're too brilliant. I saw you as a dangerous person. So I personally tried to remove you from your position because you were too good. What to speak of your spiritual, that was the quality. The British saw that we could not continue to rule India as long as there was this strong investment in religious practice, and you were an emblem of that. So I tried to remove you. It didn't work. God didn't let me do it. Please forgive me. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur replied that I always saw you as a dear friend and well-wisher. But then made a remark. I was very surprised that this man was so envious. He tried to remove me because I was too good. But he was moved by his humble submission and from his heart gave forgiveness. That was in 1908. In that same year, Bhaktivinoda Thakur desired to enter into the Babaji stage, as the Goswamis of Vrindavan had done. He was a householder, now in the Vanaprastha stage, and he wished to enter into another stage. We don't do that, but he had done that. Bhaktisiddhanta's process was, he was also qualified, but he took sannyas for preaching. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur approached Gorkishore Das Babaji. So in our disciplic succession pictures, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is over here on our right, and then Gorkishore, younger than him, saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur as his shiksha guru, but he was Babaji initiated in Vrindavan. He didn't want to do that. As we know, he didn't want to accept a disciple. He accepted only one disciple, Bhaktisiddhanta. It's the whole story. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to accept him as a Babaji disciple. So he went and hid himself on the veranda of a prostitute, thinking no one will look for me here. He didn't go on the bank of the Navadvip, or the Ganga, or some other remote place, the house of a prostitute, right in the veranda, waving at everybody as they went, see how fallen I am. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur went back to his house, and some days later he sent one of his sons who invited Gorkishore. Gorkishore came to his house, and then he agreed. So a date was chosen, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur accepted the garment, both the one cloth and the upper garment of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who had already departed this world, following in the footsteps, his biographers describe, deliberately, following in the footsteps of Sanatan Goswami, who similarly accepted that stage of life by taking the cloth of, the white cloth of Tapan Mishra, who he was looking up to. Tapan Mishra, an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya. So he accepted Babaji initiation in 1908. For 2 years, he remained in Swananda Sukhada Kunj in Navadvip, writing. And the writing in that period of time is amazing. And then he decided to go to Puri and enter into a stage where he locked himself in a room and didn't come out, and just doing solitary chanting, like morning till night, morning till night. Nirjan Bhajan, it's called. Bhaktisiddhanta, by the way, for unqualified people, spoke very, very strongly and repeatedly against doing that, in that Dushtamana writing, oh, wicked mind, seeking the adoration of others and being unqualified, sitting in a solitary place chanting. Rather, one should go and preach. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur had the qualification. He had done volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes of expanding the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at Bhakti Bhavan, those of you who have been to Puri, know the place. It's now that place was gifted to ISKCON, and it's now where the ISKCON Jagannath Puri temple is. And it's practically right across the street from the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur. And there, for 4 years, Bhaktivinoda Thakur simply engaged in chanting. It is said that he feigned to the public that he was paralyzed. But he wasn't paralyzed, he was just absorbed in the holy name. It's practically samadhi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur achieved such an elevated state. And then on June 23rd, exactly at noon, he left his body. And Nityalila Pravishta entered into the eternal pastimes of Krishna. So we're celebrating that today. May the course of the day, your rounds, your chanting, 32 rounds or more. Think of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, pray to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, seek his blessings and his empowerment to be a proper follower, to receive his mercy and in his wish to give to others the holy life and the holy name and the absorption, the chanting of Krishna's holy name. I wish you all the best in your 32 rounds or however many you chant. And we'll see you again at 2:15 where you can share what your experience is. Please remember to observe Mona Vrata, like as soon as class is over. Conversation doesn't begin, our chanting begins. And lunch at 1:00. If you want to keep going, you can keep going too. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Prema Nandini.